The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This morning's text is found in the 17th chapter of the Acts, beginning with the 16th verse as follows. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." These are the words of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, who bids us go and preach the gospel to every creature, dear fellow redeemed. Semper paratus is a well-known and ancient Latin epigram that you may be familiar with. It means always prepared. It's gotten a lot of use over the years and, in fact, remains the official motto of a number of different organizations around the world. Here in the U.S., it's the motto of the U.S. Coast Guard and, of course, the Boy Scouts of America. But it's also the motto of the Fire Department of Strathclyde, England, the Royal New Brunswick Regiment in Canada, and the Storm Escadron, the sole tank battalion of the Norwegian Army. One wonders why Norway needs a tank battalion, I guess, least of all one that is semper paratus, always prepared. Apparently, there are a lot of people who think it's important to be prepared always. There's one group, however, for whom preparedness isn't just a good idea, it's a vital necessity, and that's us Christians. The fate of eternal souls may hinge on whether you are prepared to share the good news of the gospel with other people. The Apostle Paul was prepared, and his is the example we want to focus on in the next few chapel talks. So if you'd like to improve that aspect of your life as a Christian, you've come to the right place. Because the 17th chapter of Acts has a lot to teach us about preparedness. Join me as we consider the theme, Semper Paratus, always prepared with a care for souls. As our text opens, the Apostle Paul finds himself in the ancient Greek city of Athens with a bit of time on his hands. So he starts to have a look around, and one thing that struck him right away about Athens was the idolatry. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. The word for provoked there literally means sharpened. It was like a knife to his heart when he looked around and saw all these people, an entire population immersed in spiritual darkness, a whole city marching in lockstep toward eternal destruction. What he saw basically were tens of thousands of souls dying, and that bothered him. He cared. He wanted to do something about it. And this perfectly illustrates one reason why the motto of every Christian witness should be Semper Paratus, always prepared with a care for souls. Paul cared when he saw souls dying. Do you? Do you care? It's kind of an uncomfortable question, isn't it? Because it's not like there's no souls dying around us. There are. In fact, in a recent survey that polled people about their church attendance, it was discovered that Wisconsin is among the least church states in the union. In fact, it's fifth from the bottom. 27% of Wisconsinites said that they attended church every week. Only four states were lower. That makes this place where we live one of the most godless parts of the U.S. On the other hand, if you're looking for a fertile mission field, you're in absolutely the right place. And we take it for granted, don't we, that Christian witnessing is our job and that it's an important job. It seems self-evident that we should be willing to do everything possible to bring the good news about Jesus to other people. It's a sad fact, though, that many who consider themselves Christians not only are not willing to do everything to bring lost souls to Jesus, they're not willing to do anything. You think I'm exaggerating? I'm not. A team of researchers under Dr. Tom Rainer surveyed thousands of people who do not attend church, mainly trying to find out why they didn't go to church. The results were interesting. A few people said that it was because the church is full of hypocrites. A few people said, oh, they're only after my money. But by far the largest answer, the reason people don't go to church, because they were never invited. Because they were never invited. And among those people, by the way, the majority said that they would consider attending if somebody would just invite them. But they weren't invited. And why not? Because of an even more startling statistic, in any given year, only 21% of active churchgoers ever invite anybody else to come to church with them. 21%. So that's pretty shocking, isn't it? 3/4 of non-churchgoers don't go because they're not invited, because 8 out of 10 churchgoers never invite anyone. What about you? This is really important. It's hard to imagine anything in your life being more important than your task of Christian witnessing. Who's going to reach out to the unchurched if you don't? Paul said in Romans, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Are you doing that? Reaching out with the gospel to lost souls? In a few moments we'll sing, "Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, when the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you." Well, nobody was going to hear the Apostle Paul say anything like that. He definitely had a care for souls, and he wanted to do something, so he did. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Paul, you see, was an opportunistic evangelist. I knew an opportunistic fisherman once. He was a fellow who lived here in Wisconsin and had to drive a lot for his job throughout Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And he loved to fish. So he kept a collapsible fishing rod under the front seat of his car. And whenever he saw a likely stream or lake, he'd pull over and make a few casts. And I'll tell you one thing, that guy caught a lot of fish because he was opportunistic. He was always prepared. Are you? Are you an opportunistic evangelist? Your knowledge of God's word is your equipment. Keep it within reach and handy. You never know when you'll get a chance to use it. Might be when you're talking to a friend or a relative, cousin maybe, maybe an online friend, maybe somebody you work with at your summer job. Peter said, "Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And of course, it's important to remember that all the people you meet, even total strangers, are blood-bought souls for whom Christ died. Well, by now you might be feeling a little bit discouraged. Wow, that doesn't sound like me at all. My care for souls certainly isn't what it should be. When it comes to witnessing, my heart is often fearful and timid rather than courageous. Instead of semper paratus, always prepared, maybe you feel like you're numquam paratus, never prepared. Well, dear Christian, take heart. Bring your sins and your shortcomings to God and remember Jesus, won't you? Because Jesus didn't come to improve you. He came to save you. He came to be your substitute and your champion, to step into your place and do all the things that you failed to do. He kept God's law perfectly in your place. He was always prepared with a heart that loved those lost souls to whom he reached out with the gospel. He had and has an unfailing care for souls. That's why he called you to faith in him in the first place, isn't it? Where we have often been weak and frightened, Jesus was strong and courageous. He braved all the forces of sin and hell and gave his life on the cross of Calvary so that we might be delivered from all our sins. Because of the blood he shed there, your sins and iniquities, your flaws and your failings, and yes, all the times you failed in your job as a Christian witness, those have all been atoned for. As John truly says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what now? Since Christ has already prepared for each of us a place in heaven, since the Holy Spirit has already prepared your heart by giving you faith in Jesus, let us all be semper paratus, always prepared to share that good news of a Savior from sin with as many as we can. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude with stanza 4 of hymn 496.